would please clear my mind. I hope you sang along with that last song this morning. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. And it's what we want to talk about this morning, this whole idea of dealing with loss. And here's what I've discovered, and maybe you have as well, that during the last 9 weeks, we have all experienced loss. We've experienced it to different degrees, because some of you have lost different things. Some of you have lost loved ones and you have been at the graveside. Some of you have just lost other things that you have planned. So here's my question for you today. What have you lost? I would encourage you to share that with somebody. You can share it in our chat this morning and just let us know, what have you lost over these last 9 weeks? As I said, some of you have buried loved ones. Some of you have lost your job. And you're wondering, am I going to get it back? What's it going to look like? Some of you have had your job totally changed. And you're wondering, is this way it's going to be from now on? Some of you have lost trips. You've lost vacations that you had planned and you couldn't go anymore. I think of our seniors. My goodness, they had all these activities leading up to graduation and they lost them all. In fact, isn't it true, parents? Some of you are like, I feel like I've lost more than my kids feel like, because we had parties planned and we had all these things that we were going to celebrate, and now that's all changed. And some of you are just feeling like you just lost so much. And there are other graduations, preschool graduations, other things that were going on, other things at school, other things that you had planned. Lots of things have gotten canceled, and those are losses. We've lost things over this past 9 weeks. And so as you think about what you've lost, I want to kind of pivot to a story in Scripture where I think the person could really understand, because he lost nearly everything, and his name was Job. And you might have heard the story of Job before, this guy who lost everything. I want to give you an idea of what he lost, but more than that, I want you to see what happens when he experienced this loss. And that's what I want us to talk about dealing with this morning. All this loss that we've experienced over the last 9 weeks. So consider this. In one day, Job lost all his livestock. Now we'd be like, okay, well, that was his job. That was his livelihood. On top of that, that was also his food supply. That was his supply of wool from sheep. And they were all gone in one day. Thousands of them gone, taken away. Either they were stolen by somebody or they were killed, but they were all gone in one day. So just imagine when you heard, you're being laid off. You don't know if your job's coming back. Your business has closed. Okay? You can relate a little bit to what Job is experiencing. And then on top of that, he gets the news. The last person that comes to see him that day to tell him what's happened, what you have lost, Job, is you've lost all your kids. They were adults at this time. They were all gathered together in a house, and a storm, a wind, consider a tornado or something, just knocked the house down, and all of them died. Is that a bad day? That's a bad day. That's a lot of loss. And so then on top of that, okay, and we're not told how much time is in between, but then there's another day that Job experiences loss. And on that day, do you know what he loses? He loses his health. He's struck with a disease, and that disease is very painful. It comes with a lot of infection, and he would have been in a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, dealing with this disease that he now had. So in one day, he loses his livelihood. He loses all his kids. And on the next day, someday following that in the future, he then loses his health. And he's in lots of pain all the time, and it doesn't seem to want to go away. Now, what I want you to see is what happens when his friends come. Now, if you've read the story of Job, you know his friends don't offer much help when they begin their conversations. But I want you to see what happens at the beginning, because this is a part I skipped over. And in skipping over this part, I've missed a key thing, and that is that Job grieved his loss. Now, look at this, okay? When Job's three friends heard about all this calamity, okay, the first day, and then what happened that next day, all that had happened to him, each of them came from his own country. And then we're told what their names were, okay? We have Eliphaz, we have Bildad, and we have Zophar, okay? And they all come from these foreign countries, and they've heard what's happened, and they're coming to see their friends. They're coming to help him, okay? They met together to come to show sympathy for him and to console him, okay? They have no idea what it's like to experience what he's been through. But they came to show sympathy. They came to find some way to help him. And I wanted to see what happens, okay? But when they gazed intently from a distance, so they're from a distance and they're looking ahead and they're really like, that can't be Job. Because the disease had such, had this impact on him. When they saw him from a distance, but did not recognize him, they began to weep loudly, okay? Each of them tore his robes, this is what they did to grieve, and they threw dust in the air over their heads. You're like, well, that's a kind of an odd way, but that was the way that they grieved. That's the way they dealt with what was happening and going on. That's the way they dealt with experiencing loss. Now look what happens next. Then they sat down with him on the ground for 7 days and seven nights, yet no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his pain was very great. Sat down 7 days, seven nights, didn't say a word. Didn't say a word. Didn't say, okay, Job, now we're going to deal with this, okay? We got to talk about this. No, they did nothing for 7 days. In fact, in their culture, okay, it was considered very disrespectful to speak before the person dealing with the loss had spoken. So in other words, those guys wouldn't have talked until Job said the first thing, and then they would have began a conversation. 7 days, seven nights. Why? Because Job was grieving his losses. Now, why is that important? And why would we talk about that today? And why do we need to do that? Okay? And this is why. Because losses must be grieved, or it shows up in all the wrong places. They have to be grieved. If they're not grieved, okay, it doesn't mean it just goes away. It just means it shows up somewhere else. In fact, ungrieved losses don't just go away. Rather, they show up in inconvenient and inappropriate ways. Now, what do I mean by this, okay? Most of us, if we're asked how we're doing, we're fine. But let's say during this season you've lost something. And now you're trying to figure out how to deal with it. And someone calls you up, yeah, I'm fine. You tell your family, yeah, I'm fine, it's okay. And then you go out and let's say you go to the store and, you know, someone pulls out in front of you and you lose it. And you're yelling and screaming, you're honking your horn, right? You're riding their bumper. And what happened to you was very small. Your reaction was huge. Do you know why that is? Because that's what happens with ungrieved losses. They have a way of showing up in the most inconvenient and inappropriate ways. In fact, it's true that this is what we do to the people that we love the most. It shows up in ways that are extremely hurtful to the people we care about. Some of you have had these yelling, screaming matches in your homes, and you're like, where did this come from? You know, we were just talking about, can we fix the kitchen sink? And it was a major blow up. Why? Because there's probably some ungrieved losses and you haven't dealt with them, and they're going to come and they're going to show up in inconvenient and inappropriate ways. Ways that you look and go, what happened? I can't believe I did that. Why did I just lose it? You lost it because you didn't deal with your loss. You didn't grieve your losses. And it just shows up in inconvenient and inappropriate ways. And one of the things I discovered during this time that I understand how I know when I haven't dealt with something. You know what it is? I can't sleep. Can't sleep, okay? And finally, after, you know, I don't know, first couple weeks in all this, and Jill's was like, oh my goodness, you know, because I'm up at like 2 a.m, you know, just flipping through channels, because what else do you do at 2 a.m? And she finally, you know, you know, said, hey, I heard this on the radio. And it was extremely helpful. But what it did for me was reminding me, oh, I'm not dealing with this very well, am I? I'm not dealing with this very well. And that's okay. We got to recognize that, because these things don't just go away. You don't just bury them and move on and I got lots to do. No, you don't do that. They always tend to show up in inconvenient and inappropriate ways. So if I can, for the next little bit today, can I just help you understand how we're invited to grieve as Christ followers? And if you're not a Christ follower, I just want you to know this is how Jesus helps us to deal with loss. And he invites you into his family to come find redemption and hope and salvation in him, and to then experience a way to deal with our losses. But if you're a Christ follower, lean in this morning, because this is how Jesus helps us to deal with our losses. Have you grieved them? Have you grieved your losses? Because we have to know how to deal with them. And as Christ followers, we're invited to grieve differently than everybody else. Okay? And I want to give you those three things that I uncover as I study Scripture. Okay? The first one is we grieve with hope. You might, who came up with that phrase? Paul came up with that phrase. He came up with this phrase that we grieve with hope. In fact, look at this. Now, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters. He's writing to the church in Thessalonica, in modern day Greece. And he says, about those who are asleep. And so in the New Testament, that's how they spoke about people who died, that they were asleep. Because in Jesus, there is resurrection life. So they said, we don't want you to like walk around and be uninformed about those who you have buried. Okay? Who are asleep. So that you will not grieve like the rest. Okay? So like non-followers of Jesus who don't understand resurrection life, who have no hope. That means I get to grieve with hope. I get to grieve with an expectation of who Jesus is. In fact, biblical hope is so much different than the way we talk about hope. Biblical hope is not a wish, but a confident expectation of what God has promised. It's a confident expectation. I'm not just wishing everything would get better, but grieving with hope is that God has promised me. And I open his word and I recognize he promised me he'll never leave me. He promised me he'll be there for me. He promised me I have plans for you. All the incredible promises of Scripture, I got to open those because they allow me to grieve my losses with hope and say, you know what? God is still in charge. He's still in control. And I can have a confident expectation of what he has promised that God will still do, that my losses don't negate the promises of God. Second, I get to grieve with perspective. Now, what do I mean by this? The book of Job, it's not written by Job. Job does not tell his story because he doesn't know the backstory. He doesn't know what happens in the beginning. He doesn't know that, okay? And so the book of Job doesn't end as we would think it would, okay? This guy's been through so much loss. It does not end with an explanation. I would like one, wouldn't you? I'd like an explanation at times. But the book of Job does not end that way. It does not end with, Job, I want you to sit down. You need to know this. Satan came before me. I allowed him to do these things. I knew that your faith was strong and secure. Right? None of that. Job never knows this. Okay? And the book doesn't end with Job getting an explanation. Okay? The reader gets to see what Job doesn't. Perspective. We get to see this bigger picture. And we get a little perspective into that loss isn't always what it seems on the surface. That so often God is working behind the scenes and that God is doing things that we don't know and we don't understand and we don't have figured out. But we don't know God's perspective on this. We don't know what God sees. And so this is a chance for us to really trust what God is doing. This is what Job says at the end. I was talking about things I knew nothing about. Remember, he's not invited. He's not given an explanation. I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. In other words, I had no idea of your perspective. And he never knew what happened. So instead of an explanation, Job is invited to trust the story that God is writing. I know we'd like an explanation. I know we'd like to blame people, right? There's lots of that going around. There's lots of guys, right, on radio and Facebook, right? And they've got all the people to blame, and they got all the people you should be mad at, right? And we're going on our Facebook rants, okay? Because what we want more than anything is an explanation. We may never get an explanation. Job never did. Instead, God invites him. Job, trust the story I am writing. And do you know what we're told this summary at the end? God blessed him more the second half of his life than the first. But Job never knew what happened. He never knew. See, we don't know what's coming next. And if we don't trust the story, we will not grieve with perspective. We will not grieve our losses. And therefore, we're not going to trust God. And we're going to make decisions on our own. And we're going to be upset at God. And maybe we're going to shove him away because we think he's not fair with us right now. And this isn't right. And I shouldn't have lost all this. But God does not promise us an explanation. He promises to be with us. And he invites us to constantly trust the story that he is writing in our lives. The third one is to grieve in relationship. Now what do I mean about this? Okay, do you know the verse that all the kids, when we had Wednesday nights and, you know, it was time to give up Bible verses, do you know what the one they always wanted? The one I'm going to give you right now. It is the easiest verse to memorize. I guarantee you. Everyone, I can't, right? If you think you can't memorize, you can memorize this. Jesus wept. It is the shortest verse, but it's a verse that just blows my mind. This is from John 11. This is where Lazarus has died. Jesus shows up late. Funeral's already happened. He's in the grave. And his sisters are pretty mad at him. They know what he can do. And they look at him and they say, Jesus, if you'd just been here, this would all been figured out. And Jesus knows what he has in mind. And he tells them, trust the story. Trust the story. Mary, Martha, trust the story. But when he goes to the grave, we're told he weeps. And it's a verse that, wait a minute, you're going to pull him out of the grave. What are you weeping for? Because he's around people who are grieving their losses. And even though Jesus, because he is God, sees the bigger picture and the perspective that we don't see, he still weeps with us. We do not weep alone. We do not go through losses alone. We are our Heavenly Father's with us every step of the way. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, is with us every step of the way through all of that. And he even weeps with us, even though he knows the bigger part of the story. That's just amazing. And so why wouldn't we invite a loving Savior into our losses to weep with us and to grieve with us, but help us to see that perspective? We were not created to grieve alone. Okay? We were not created to grieve alone. Invite God and others to grieve with you. I'm just amazed the people that God puts in our lives at just the right time as we're experiencing loss. I have been able during this time to connect with other pastors like never before. I've been invited into webinars to hear things that have been totally encouraging to me. I've just been amazed because you know what we're doing? Instead of just, I got to figure this out all on my own, we are inviting others into our loss and saying, can you help me figure this out? Can you pray with me? Can we just encourage one another? And so often, we take that loss and we bury it. Instead of recognizing there's people around us. And sometimes, you know, they're people that we wouldn't maybe expect to understand, but they understand our story because their story is very similar. And they would love to grieve with us. But if you don't invite Jesus in, if you don't invite someone else in to your grieving, we weren't meant to grieve alone. Job's three friends show up and they all sit down on the ground, all four of them. There is something powerful about that, that they didn't grieve by themselves. And we shouldn't grieve by ourselves either. We will either grieve our losses or be grieved at how much damage our life produces. I really think this is an incredible statement. We either grieve our losses or be grieved at how much damage our life produces. They say that during this time, there's so much hurt that is going on. There is a lot of pain. And a lot of that is we're inflicting on ourselves because we don't know how to grieve our losses. And so our lives are producing damage, they're producing pain into other people's lives. And it doesn't have to be that way. So here's what I want to invite you to today. I want you to grieve with hope, grieve with perspective, and in relationship to move forward into a life that thrives. Your life cannot thrive with ungrieved losses. It just can't. It just can't. You'll have all this unresolved anger. It will show up in inappropriate ways. You'll be damaging the people you love the most. You'll be hurting people around you. It's happening all the time. So can I just invite you today? Let's grieve differently as followers of Jesus. Now, let me just take this in two separate ways. If you're not a follower of Jesus, I'd love to invite you to come follow Jesus. Where else are you going to grieve your losses? Our culture doesn't know how to. And I'm sure you've tried to find ways to deal with your loss. None of them involve these things that Jesus does for us. And so I'd love for you to reach out to somebody online. We'd love to lead you that way. We'd love for you to go to our website, to our resource we have there, to A Fresh Start with God. We'd love for you to do that because we just believe that God wants a fresh start for you in your life. And what a better way, you're dealing with all this loss right now, what a better way than to deal with your losses. For all the followers of Jesus, are we doing this? I mean, I wasn't at the beginning. I kind of just lost it and lost sleep. How are you dealing with your losses? As a friend told me the other day, he said, you know what I think most of us are dealing with some form of depression during this. And it's because we don't know how to grieve our losses. And so, Christ followers, come on. Let's make a new choice today. I know you've lost a lot. I know. This season shouldn't have happened. It's not fair what happened. It's not fair what took place. Now, I invite you to grieve your losses. Let's grieve with hope. Let's grieve with perspective, and let's grieve in relationship. Stop shutting out the people who love you the most. You're not helping yourself, and you're not helping them. By burying your loss, those losses are showing up in all the wrong places at all the wrong times. So I want to pray for us today that we would start today grieving the losses that we've experienced during this time. Dear Heavenly Father, I would pray you would help us today. We have all experienced loss. Some of those losses are great. Some of those losses are big to us. Some of them are multiple losses. But I just wonder how we're doing dealing with them. And Jesus, I confess, I did not deal with them well either. And I'm still trying to learn how to deal better with them. And so I pray for all of us that you'd help us to grieve well, to grieve our losses, but to grieve them with hope, perspective, and in relationship. you are so loving to us. You are willing to step into time and space. And when you stood at a grave, you wept. Even knowing perspective-wise that you were going to raise Lazarus. Because you weep with us. And so help us to deal with our losses. Because I believe, Jesus, you want to do something great in our lives. And we're only going to damage the people around us and damage ourselves by not grieving our losses. So help us. Empower us. Do something great in and through our lives as we learn what it is to follow you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, join us next week. Next week is graduation Sunday. We're going to honor our seniors, honor our graduates, and all that they've been through. Grieve your losses. We are here for you. Reach out to us if we can pray for you or encourage you and help you to grieve with hope and perspective and in relationship with God and others.